A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. These words are from our gospel reading today. By show of hands, how many of you have seen the first movie in the Matrix trilogy, The Matrix? Hands? A few of y'all. Young people, catch up. It's not that old a movie. What if everything you think you know is a lie? This question was the basis of the first movie in the Matrix trilogy. That most people live in the grip of the Matrix, an artificial reality whose purpose is to blind everyone from the truth. That they were born into slavery, into a prison for their minds. Morpheus explains this to Neo, the main character, and then he offers Neo a choice. Neo can take the blue pill, and the story ends. He wakes in his bed and can believe whatever he wants to believe. Or he can take the red pill, and he can stay in Wonderland and see how deep the rabbit hole goes. When Neo reaches for the red pill, Morpheus interrupts him and says, "Remember, all I am offering is the truth, nothing more." What if we're living a lie? What if we've been sold a bill of goods for 50 plus years by the one entity that stands to profit the most from us buying the lie? What if there's a truth out there waiting to be grasped, waiting to be lived out? A truth that if only we would embrace it, it would solve so many of the problems and issues that we see. Would we want to hear it? Or would we shut it out? Would the prophet be without honor among his own kin and in his own house? What was the problem in Israel at the time of Ezekiel? Israel had been conquered again, this time by the Babylonians. Their king, Jehoiakim, had been deported to Babylon. And another king had been put in place by the Babylonians to replace him. Now Ezekiel, who was a temple priest, was deported along with the king and his royal court. In the passage that we receive today, Ezekiel receives his commission as a prophet from God. What was he commissioned to do? He was commissioned to warn the Israelites of the coming destruction because of their rejection of the prophets. What was Jesus doing in our gospel today? Jesus headed back to Nazareth to teach in the synagogue. And what happened? Well, scripture says many who heard him were astonished. They recognized his wisdom. They acknowledged his mighty deeds. And then what? They took offense at him, scripture says. Why did they do that? Well, they questioned his authority because of their familiarity with him. Jesus could perform no great works for them because they rejected the prophet. Ezekiel was sent to a disobedient Israel to warn them. And God told him that whether they heed or resist, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. Jesus, the Son of God, went to Nazareth, and the Nazareans couldn't see past what they knew about him. All their problems arose because they rejected the prophets sent to them with the truth. Now, as usual, there's some parallels with our society today in these scripture passages, brothers and sisters. More specifically, there are parallels between Israel and our church. that are worth examining. A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. The people of Israel were born into a prison of their own minds. They couldn't see in Ezekiel's time that faith in God and faithfulness to their covenant with God were the winning formula. The people of Nazareth couldn't see the Son of God in Jesus, blinded as they were by their own expectations and by what they knew or thought they knew. In both instances, they were blue pill people. They believed whatever they wished, true or not. Our church's mission, its entire reason for existing, is to proclaim the kingdom of God, to bear witness to the gospel, to the truth. We have the promise of Christ in Scripture that the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. And yet, how blinded we can be to the truth. How sure we can be about what's real, and how sadly willing so many of us are to take the blue pill, to buy the lie that's been constructed for us by the very one who wishes nothing as much as our destruction. Some of y'all may get tired of me bringing up the subject of contraception so frequently in my homilies, but allow me, please, to explain why I do it. 43 years ago, on July the 25th, 1968, Pope Paul VI gave us the encyclical Humanae Vitae of human life on the regulation of birth. Now, to listen to those people out there, you would think that Humanae Vitae was all about birth control pills. Funny thing, though, Pope Paul doesn't get around to talking about contraception at all until about paragraph 14, almost halfway through the letter. But boy, when he gets around to it, he's downright prophetic. Now, I'm going to read a list. Please stop me. Stand up and shout when I say something that's not true today. Contraception, he said, would lead to conjugal, meaning marital, infidelity. Anybody? Okay. Contraceptive practice would lead to a general lowering of morality. Okay. Contraception, and these are quotes from Paul VI, I'm not making this up. Contraception would lead men to cease respecting women in their totality and would cause them to treat women as mere instruments of selfish enjoyment rather than as cherished partners. Anybody? And finally, widespread acceptance of contraception by couples would lead to a massive imposition of contraception by unscrupulous governments. I'll pass on the easy example. Think of China and its one-child policy. But here's the interesting thing. Despite the truth of these four prophecies, despite the undeniable negative effects of choosing to contracept both in and outside of marriage, we're still largely, as a church, blue pill people on this issue. We continue to believe whatever we want, and it hurts us. And we take offense at the church for speaking up. Our sexuality, our maleness and femaleness, is meant to teach us about God. Our maleness and femaleness taken together tell us who God is. And whether we're married or single or consecrated, Like our priests, we're called to proclaim the gospel through our bodies. And see, contraception turns that gospel truth into the precise lie that Satan wants us to accept in place of the truth. Now, I will posit that there are maybe three groups of people among us right now. One subset of us has already seen through the lie. They know that Satan is attacking marriage and the family as a tactic to separate us from God. They're doing their best to understand and to live out the truth of their sexuality as best they can, asking God for the grace to do it. Now, a second set of folks tuned me out about 2 pages ago when it became clear that I was going to preach about contraception. God bless you. And if you're still here, please do not hear my words as condemnation. My wife Anne Marie and I contracepted for 8 years. I didn't appreciate the truth of this teaching from the church until I was almost 33 years old. I cannot judge you, but I can tell you the truth. And I can ask you, beg you, to examine what it is that the church teaches, to examine why it is that the church teaches that, and then see if that teaching lines up with your life experience. Is contraception freeing you, or is contraception enslaving you? Now, the third group here, and I pray that this is most of us, is bothered by what I've said. You sense that something ain't quite right with a reality that you've been sold. Like Neo in the Matrix, you may feel a bit like Alice looking down the rabbit hole and wondering how deep it goes. Brothers and sisters, I beg you, keep searching. Keep asking. That unease, that disquiet that you feel when you lay awake at night, that's the Holy Spirit. God wants nothing more than our happiness. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. Ask God, beg God for the grace to be open to the truth. A prophet is not without honor except in his native place. Jesus nailed it. What if everything that you know about contraception, what if it's a lie? What if Satan has chosen the one thing that would best reveal God to mankind, that actually makes us the image and likeness of God, that he's taken that and perverted it into one great big lie? On the subject of the correct exercise of our sexuality, too often we reject the prophets of the church in favor of that big lie that Satan has sold us. But no matter where you believe the truth lies, we have a choice. Do we take the blue pill of the contraceptive lifestyle with all the baggage that it brings, with all of the slavery, the pain, and the destruction that it can cause? Or do we take the red pill of the truth? It's always our choice. We are truly free in God to choose life or to choose death. God is no tyrant. Neither is the church. The truth, however, is not negotiable It is not a matter of opinion, yours or anybody else's. And there is no way to reconcile a blue pill mentality on contraception with the red pill reality that we see out there every day. The blue pill in real life, as in the Matrix, only leads to a lie, to slavery, to death. A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. The evil one offers the big lie. The church is offering the truth and the grace to live that truth faithfully. Which pill will it be?